Affairs Committee going. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Members, if you'd take your seats. Martha, please call the roll.
Chair Holder?
Here.
Representative Beshears?
Here.
Representative Comby?
Here.
Representative Diaz? Representative Gates?
Here.
Representative Hill?
Here.
Representative Lee?
Here.
Representative Mayfield?
Here.
Representative Nelson?
Here.
Representative Wallerson?
Here.
Representative Rooney?
Here.
Representative Rasan? Representative Stark?
Here.
Representative Stubbe?
Here.
Representative Stewart?
Here.
Representative Wallman?
Here.
Representative Watson?
Present.
Representative Williams?
Let the record show that a quorum is present. And I would like to remind everyone to either silence or turn off your cell phones. And members, today we have five bills that are on the agenda. However, we're going to temporarily postpone consideration of House Bill 565 by Representative Santiago until a future meeting. So we're going to have a pretty quick run of it today. But we're going to go ahead and start off with Chair Workman, House Bill 631. Good to see you, sir. And
Chairman,
you are recognized.
Thank you very much, and thanks so much for hearing this bill. Briefly, for some background, many of you don't know this, most of you do, that I spent 30 years in the mortgage industry. My family owned a mortgage company, and I was very active in the Mortgage Association. And the first year that I was elected an official here in representative in Tallahassee, I ran what's called the SAFE Act, and it was the sweeping reform of the mortgage industry led by the Dodd-Frank Act in Washington, D.C., that uniformly fixed or regulated mortgages in all 50 states through federal mandates and gave us much higher standards. And I served as the representative to run that bill in Florida, which was broad sweeping reforms of the mortgage industry. So here we are years later, operating successfully under the new tighter regulations imposed in 2009 and 10. And what we have currently and what you have before you is not a deregulation bill. I want to just say that one more time. I am not deregulating in any way the mortgage industry in Florida. What I'm doing is removing duplicative laws that exist between Florida and federal law. SAFE Act allowed the state of Florida through OFR to enforce federal law, the TILA, HOPA, RESPA. We do not have to spell out what that is in state law because it is spelled out clearly in federal law. What we need is Florida law to say that OFR may and can and shall enforce federal law, along with some other details. But what we can't have is duplicative laws because it causes confusion to the consumer. Let me tell you, if I want to defraud you in a mortgage, the best way that I can do that is by putting 45 pages of information of the same information spelled out in 14 different ways, some meeting a federal requirement, some meeting a state requirement, the same numbers differently to the same end result. And I will confuse you, and then I can defraud you. This is not a case where more is better. Succinct and clear disclosure is what's better. And by the passage of this bill will not deregulate, but simply get Florida in line with other 50 states so that a mortgage is a mortgage is a mortgage without duplicative laws and duplicative forms in Florida. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Well, members, I'm sorry I misspoke. I thought it was going to be a short meeting. There is one amendment, and you are recognized to explain Amendment 1.
It clarifies a licensee must meet renewal requirements and pay all required fees prior to March 1st.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? We have several people that want to speak to the bill, I'm assuming. Anyone wanting to speak on the amendment? Members, debate on the amendment? You're welcome to close on your amendment.
Just a few words. I wave close.
Waving close. Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, let's go ahead and call up Valerie Saunders. Waving in support. Thank you. Alice Vickers. Alliance for Consumer Protection.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Alice Vickers, Florida Alliance for Consumer Protection. I don't necessarily agree with most of what Representative Workman says. There are new federal laws that have been passed by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. There are changes to the mortgage lending industry. Those followed the changes in 2009 from the SAFE Act. I think the additions to this bill are good. I think they streamline the process for Office of Financial Regulation, and I think they make some very fair changes for the mortgage lending industry. The concerns are solely with the deletions that are in the bill, parts of law that protect consumers that are being taken away. There are four of them as I see them. The first one is a provision that defines loan origination fees to include processing fees. Processing fees are generally junk fees. They are added on to the sale as a padding, similar to other junk fees. Now, I do agree that when it's a third-party fee, that a third party is being paid, so the person that you are directly dealing with is not benefiting from that fee, that's not a junk fee. But the problem with the deletion that we see in this bill is it takes away the definition of processing fees as being part of the loan origination fee. Therefore, they're no longer included in the cap, and consumers lose the protection of a cap placed on junk fees. Now, the industry will say only two states provide this protection. I say if Florida is ahead of the game in protecting consumers on this kind of junk fee, let's stay where we are and keep that protection. The second one has to do with arbitration. Federal law now says that you may not place any arbitration in a loan document. This does not protect consumers in any other contract they may have with the lender or the broker. We want to keep in law the protections that ban forced arbitration against consumers in these circumstances. The bill would delete these provisions that allow for protection for consumers against forced arbitration in certain situations that are not covered by the federal law. We don't want to lose that. The third piece has to do with mortgage broker agreements. The industry would like to get rid of mortgage broker agreements. I would agree with Representative Workman. Too much paper is not a service to the consumer. However, we are seeing a change in the paper that consumers will get. That does not come until August 2015. We have time to look at the paper to determine what is going to serve the consumer best. How do we best protect the consumer? Let's not get rid of the agreement now till we understand what is in play for the consumer. The last piece is the Florida Fair Lending Act. This bill would delete the Florida Fair Lending Act. Again, I wish the act provided greater protections than it does, but it is all we have. In many cases throughout Florida law, we embed federal law in Florida law and provide that protection for consumers. In addition, it is not duplicative. There are two very crucial remedies provided in the Florida Fair Lending Act that are not in the federal law. One is a right to cure after default. This is a huge benefit for the consumer that we don't have under federal law. And the second is if a mortgage broker or lender violates the Florida Fair Lending Act, then the court so holds, the remedy for the consumers, they don't have to pay the interest. Another huge protection for consumers in this small subset of loans that are extremely high interest and extremely dangerous loans for the consumer. So we would like to see those protections remain. And that is, in a nutshell, the concerns I have with the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Next, we have Frank Sassoni. Waves in support. And finally, we have Greg Black. Okay. Moving on then. Members, we're in debate. Representative Stark.
I was temporarily distracted with a few things that I'm working on, looking at all the bills. Is it possible to ask Chair Workman any more questions, or are we finished with that?
I'll let you ask him a question. Sure.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask if you could just expand for some of the questions that the Florida Alliance had, because I'm not familiar with, you know, with mortgages, and, you know, so she raised some concerns. I just wanted you to, you know, either rebut or just answer or expand on them.
Sure. And I was going through my close, so it's probably not taking more time, Chairman.
Recognize.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Nearly everything that Ms. Vickers spoke about is covered in federal law, and that's part of the problem, is that because we have our own Florida Fair Lending Act, it doesn't trump the Federal Fair Lending Act. But they parallel each other for the most part, and those minute differences are what makes a difference. Ms. Vickers spoke a lot about the processing fee. On the Florida form, that's included in the origination fee. It's not on the federal form. So the exact same numbers, the same fees being charged by a mortgage originator in Florida will be disclosed differently on two different forms required by the government, one by the federal government and one by state government. They're the same fees being charged, but they're broken out differently, and they're completely confusing the consumer, because on one form it will say that I'm making $2,000, and the other form will say that my origination fee is $1,800. I would like you very much to think for a moment how you explain that consumer, why my fee, that in the end is the same, but it's differently, shown differently on two different forms. It's very confusing. I am not dealing with the mortgage industry. Ms. Vickers is incorrect. These things are covered in federal law. That's why we impose federal law and allowed OFR to regulate it.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You just said something that I'm not clear on, and perhaps you can get some clarity to it. You said that these same questions are on both forms. Is it not true that the form for the federal government does not become effective until 2015, and therefore all mortgages preceding that date would not have conflicting information?
Chair Workman.
Thank you, sir. No, that is incorrect, ma'am. And excellent question. A new federal form is coming out in 2015. There is currently a good faith estimate, federal good faith estimate existing today, and they're going to change it yet again. So in 2015, it's not new information. It's just the same information shown differently, which will still conflict with the Florida form. So what we're trying to do is do away with the Florida-centric form and keep it all the same. So no matter where you buy a home, it's the same good faith estimate, it's the same truth in lending form, it's the same HUD settlement form, instead of a Florida-centric one that unfortunately breaks out fees differently. Even though the end result of the consumer is identical, it's the same numbers displayed differently, causing great consumer confusion. And I tell you again, if I'm going to defraud you, the best way to do you is to tell you the same thing differently several times and make you sign whatever I want you to sign.
Just as a follow-up.
Final question.
Thank you. We were talking about arbitrations. Okay. Could you be a little bit more clear on the arbitrations? Because I'm hearing arbitrations has been deleted from the bill that you presented before us today. And lastly, how does this line up with the Senate bill?
Chair Workman.
Thank you. Second question first, it lines up identical to the Senate version. And arbitration is, I really hate it because Ms. Vickers is a very nice lady, is covered in federal law. I actually called the mortgage bankers in and the mortgage brokers that have waived in support and asked that very question. It is covered in federal law. It's just spelled out in our law, so you have to actually link to the federal law to open a separate set of books to read that, but it is covered. Arbitration is the same in federal law as it is in the Florida Fair Lending Act. It's just a fact. It lines up exactly with the Senate bill.
Okay. Members, we're in debate. You recognize to close on your bill.
Thank you for your thoughtful consideration. I waive close.
Martha, please call the roll.
Representatives Beshears?
Yes.
Combi?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Gates?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Rollerson?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Roussan? Stark? Oh, no. It's no. No. Stark?
No.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Waldman?
Yes.
Watson?
No.
Williams?
Yes.
Shareholder?
Yes. And members, by your vote, show the bill passes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you, Committee.
All right, next we're going to House Bill 633. Representative Ingram, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. In 2012, Senator Richter and Representative Hager passed a comprehensive package that improved operations within the Department of Financial Services Division of Agents and Agency Services. This is part two of that continued effort to improve administrative processes and customer service within that division, and will help ensure that laws, rules, policies, and procedures are meeting the needs of regulated entities without being overly burdensome or unnecessarily complex. The highlights of these changes include making agency licenses perpetual to reduce complication and renewal cycles, enhancing consumer protections within the mediation and neutral evaluation programs, addressing weaknesses in the insurance agent and adjuster background screening processes, and finally waiving application fees for veterans and families of active duty military. And that's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any questions? Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Ingram, could you describe sort of the purpose and what you're getting at in Section 6 of the bill? There seems to be a great deal of content there.
Representative Ingram.
Let's pull up Section 6. Representative. Hey, and the department is here. You're welcome to come and weigh in as I look up Section 6. I know off the top of your head.
You recognize.
I'm Greg Thomas. I'm the Director of Division of Insurance Agent and Agency Services of the Department of Financial Services. Section 6 of the bill deals with the agent in charge of an insurance agency. That language is currently in Part 2 of Chapter 626. We're deleting it from Part 2 and moving it to Part 1. And the reason that we're doing that is Part 1 of Section 626 applies to all insurance agents. Part 2 is specific to property and casualty, but if you go read the language in the current law, it says it applies to all the other agents. It's just in the wrong place. So we're moving it over and cleaning it up a little bit to give a little more clarity to the role of the agent in charge.
Mr. Thomas, could you please fill out an appearance card for us? And members, any other questions of the audience? Representative Gates.
Yeah, follow up, Mr. Chairman. So on the issue of cleanup, on line 271, where it seems to get into, I don't know if it's punitive actions or regulating the conduct of agents, is there a distinction between what would constitute misconduct and what would constitute a wrongful act? And maybe you or Representative Ingram could describe to me the difference between the two.
Line 271?
Yes. Line 271 of the bill, it reads accountable for wrongful acts, misconduct, or violations.
Mr. Thomas?
We're reading a different version. Hang on just a moment. I've wrapped the other one. That's the most up to date. If you can read that to me. Okay.
Well, I can ask the question without reference to the line.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Here.
You recognize.
What this is spelling out is that the agent in charge has certain duties as far as the administration of the agency, and spells out that if misdeeds go on in the agency that they are responsible for them, but they are not responsible for criminal actions that occur there unless they knowingly participated in those.
Representative Gates.
Now, I understand the value premise, but you used the word misdeeds, which is not on line 271. Instead, on line 271, we have wrongful acts and misconduct. And so as to, because I know that the regulation of these agents are very specific, is misconduct something different than wrongful acts, or have we just rearticulated a synonym?
Mr. Thomas.
I think it's been rearticulated. Our lawyers wrote this, to be honest.
You satisfied? Members, any other questions? Representative Stark for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a few questions on how some of these things work. First question I had is I like the idea of waiving application fees for veterans. My question is, they still have to take the insurance 40 hours or 240 hours. Am I correct on that?
Representative Ingram.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It would simply be the waiving of the fees, and they would still be responsible for the educational credits and everything that would go into licensure.
All right. Question two.
Follow up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up. Insurance agents that may not need, you know, some of the agents, we don't want them to have to be appointed with a carrier. That's part of the bill, I see. But I'm assuming that they also still need to retain their, they still have to take CE. Is that correct?
Right. Mr. Representative Ingram. That is correct.
Okay. And, follow up this last question. If an insurance agent commits some type of a felony, do they normally lose their license to sell insurance?
Representative Ingram.
Mr. Chairman, I'll let the department address this,
sure,
in depth, but that was one of the large premises of the bill, is that sometimes when there's not a conviction, but you know, we've all seen in the newspaper that someone's been in trouble, the department didn't have the ability to go after that person and remove their license. So that's, yeah, you know, what was what prompted this particular provision. So I'll turn let the division answer in depth, yeah, if that's okay.
Mr. Thomas.
Sir. Yes, sir. If a person is convicted of a felony, their license is revoked. What the reference that Representative Ingram made was that we oftentimes have our Division of Insurance Fraud arrest someone for insurance fraud. We will revoke their license. They'll go through, they're convicted, they're put on probation. They come off probation 2 years later, they get their record sealed, and they come back and say, I would like my insurance license back. This will allow us to not give them that license back.
Representative Stark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it not commonplace when an insurance agent goes to be licensed with a company that when he goes to get licensed, that one of the questions is, have you ever had your insurance license lost before or have it revoked?
Mr. Thomas, or Representative Ingram, whichever one.
Are you comfortable answering? I was handed the amendment and didn't hear that.
Yes, it is common for them to check the background, but it is not always the practice. Most of them do, the better companies will, but some don't do the as much due diligence as maybe they ought to.
Great. Okay, members, we have an amendment that's been filed by Representative Gates. Representative Gates, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope the sponsor finds this friendly. Otherwise, I'll be happy to withdraw it. But you know, when I litigate these types of questions, it's always frustrating to have just a series of synonyms strung through Florida statutes, and no one has been able to explain what the distinction in line 271 is between a wrongful act and misconduct. Misconduct is actually a more precise definition because in custom and usage, you can clarify that easier than what someone would consider to be a wrongful act. So I simply have removed the phrase wrongful act, and it will just read accountable for misconduct. That's the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Representative Waldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think I see what it is you're trying to do, but how do you reconcile that then with line 274, which talks then about the criminal acts and criminal charges, because I would believe that wrongful acts references is what is looking at criminal acts. That's when they're talking about it. Misconduct wouldn't be something criminal. So you have here a provision in 274 which seems to say if that criminal act, which is really that wrongful act, takes place and it's the other person who did it, the agent's not liable unless they committed it. So how do you reconcile those two?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually agree with the point that Representative Waldman's making, but my understanding, and I'm happy to be corrected by the sponsor, Representative Waldman, is that the conduct that's being governed in lines 270 through 273, that initial sentence in subsection E, there can be discipline for conduct that does not rise to the level of criminal conduct, but that is misconduct. And then the following sentence, which is line 274 to 277, also references criminal conduct, but while all criminal conduct is misconduct, not all misconduct is criminal conduct. But if I've misunderstood that and there's an intent to lash all of that discipline to criminal conduct, then I think an even more clarifying amendment would be necessary. But I would defer to the sponsor on what his intention is.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
And thank you for that. And I would request that we direct it to the sponsor, because I don't have an objection if in fact, that's the sponsor's intent.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, first of all, let's while we have you up there, is this a friendly amendment?
I consider it friendly, but I think we need clarification from the division.
Okay.
I hate to open up another bag of worms without...
Would you like to address the question that Representative Waldman asked?
Yep. I'm clarifying. All right.
Mr. Thomas?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I'm not an attorney, and this sounds to be an illegal debate, to be honest, and we don't have any concerns with the removal of the wrongful act.
Representative Waldman, are you okay? Representative Williams, for a question.
Thank you, and maybe this goes to staff. How many more stops do we have on this?
Final.
Okay. I would, and I know to the sponsor of this motion, of this bill, I know he's worked hard on this over the past couple stops, and I would just offer this up, especially being at this committee, since it's probably some legalese and although we trust all of your know-how, I would even offer that maybe we allow this to move forward and you get back with the sponsor and work through these differences that you may have and then have this ready for the floor. I have it done in the Rules Committee.
Okay, members, any questions? Representative Roussan for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My question would be, would the sponsor accept that offer?
The sponsor of the amendment? Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't consider it an offer. I thought it was more of an editorial comment, and it would be one that I would reject. Our job on these committees, the reason we come here, is to ensure that the bills that we move forward actually are consistent with our principles, and particularly as it comes to statutory clarity. If we have words in our bills, and no one here can explain why they're in the bill, I'm of the view that probably they shouldn't be, and I would be uncomfortable moving the bill to the floor under those circumstances, unless, of course, the sponsor was able to articulate some distinction between misconduct and wrongful acts.
Are there any other questions about the amendment? Representative Roussan.
Thank you. We have a real debate going on here in terms of whether misconduct is all-inclusive of criminal acts or whether criminal acts is all-inclusive of misconduct. It appears to be distinct and unclear. And I'm suggesting, Mr. Chair, that maybe this either be tabled at this time until it's cleared, or if not, then allow this to move forward without this amendment with the idea that it get clear before it hits the floor.
Representative Roussan, you have the option of voting for or against the amendment as has been proposed, so I would suggest you exercise that right. Thank you. Any other questions, members? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on the amendment? Seeing none, is there debate? Representative Waldman, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment. I think Representative Gates makes a good point at this point, that this is the purpose of the committee. If after this amendment passes, assuming it does pass, and the bill sponsor thinks that there's a reason why it should be different, we can come back to the floor and argue it. But at this point, unless there's some type of articulable answer to his question, I think his motion amendment is very well taken.
In debate, members. Representative Gates, you're waving close on your amendment. Are there any objections to the amendment? Let the record show there is one objection to the amendment. Two. We'll just go ahead and go to a voice vote. All those in favor, yay.
Nay.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
Show that the amendment is adopted. Now we're back on the bill as amended. And And we have three people from the audience that wish to speak. We have Logan McFadden from the CFO's office. Waves in support. Cynthia Lorenzo from the Florida Association of Insurance Agents. Wave in support. And Laura Pierce with the Florida Association of Insurance Agents. Waves in support. Members, is there any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Representative Ingram, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you all members for helping me strengthen this bill and pass it out of committee.
Martha, please call the roll.
Representatives Beshears?
Yes.
Combi?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Gates?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Rollison?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Roussan?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Stuvey? Stewart?
Yes.
Wallman?
Yes.
Watson?
Yes.
Williams? Chairholder?
Yes. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Congratulations.
Thank you all.
This is a great process, isn't it? All right, next up we have House Bill 375 by Representative Santiago.
I was almost going to call out sick.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, this is House Bill 375. Basically what the bill does is it requires an insurance policy, absent the agent's signature, to still be a binding qualified contract, and all the benefits still apply to both sides. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
And members, there's one amendment on the bill by Representative Nelson and Ranking Member Waldman. You've got a copy of the amendment in your packet. Representative Nelson, Chair Nelson, would you like to explain the amendment?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one sentence. A non-forfeiture benefit may also be offered in the form of a return of premium on death of the insured or on a complete surrender or cancellation of the policy or contract. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Santiago, I'm going to ask you to tell us whether or not this is a friendly amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a friendly amendment.
Great. Members, are there any questions about the amendment? Representative Stark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In reviewing this, I like the amendment. I just wanted members to understand what the amendment actually does. We might want to have somebody actually explain what it is, but it's a good addition from what I understand, long-term care insurance policies. We don't have time for that. I'm okay with it, but this was actually something good, and I thought we should know what it's about.
Okay. Representative Nelson, Representative Stark is asking if you would explain what your amendment is about, and if you could do that, that would be great.
Super. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, there's a couple ways this could happen. If you surrender a policy, no longer can afford it, don't need it, don't want it. If there's a part of the contract that is not like a life insurance policy that has a long-term rider on it, so you have some long-term care insurance as a rider to a life insurance policy, and you no longer need the life insurance policy for whatever reason, but you could still get a return of premium on that rider, that benefit of long-term care. So that's kind of a good example for you.
Any other questions? Let's see, we have two people that wish to testify from the audience. We have Paul Sanford with FIC. Waves in support. And let's see, we have Meredith Snowden. Waves in support. Great. Members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Nelson, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Waving close. Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Now we're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions for the sponsor of the bill as amended? Seeing none, are there any members of the audience that wish to testify on the bill? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Representative Santiago?
Wave close, Mr. Chairman.
Waving close. Martha, please call the roll.
Representatives Beshears?
Yes.
Combi?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Gates?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Rollison?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Roussan? Stark?
Yes.
Booby? Stewart?
Yes.
Waldman?
Yes.
Watson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chairholder?
Yes. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Congratulations. We'll move on to House Bill 413, which is also Representative Santiago. You're recognized to explain 413.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, House Bill 413 is a bill that requires professional debt collectors to be subjected to background checks. It also enhances some of the reporting requirements that the Office of Financial Regulation is asking for, and also allows them for some additional rulemaking to better manage the industry. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
And you have one amendment. Go ahead and explain your amendment.
One moment, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, it's just a cross-reference technical amendment?
Oh, that's right. Yep, they forgot to put that one in there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for that. It's just correcting some language on where it should be noted.
Sure.
Apologies.
Members, are there any questions about the technical amendment? Representative Waldman. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you specifically tell us what part of this cross-references and how it works in relationship to the rest of the statutes as far as the bill goes also?
Oh,
she's just kidding. Any other questions? Okay. Members, is there any debate? No debate. You're recognized to close on your amendment.
I close, Mr.
Javen. Close. Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there, let's see, we have Alice Vickers. Waves in support. We have Joe Morris. OFR waves in support. Frank Miners had to step out, and he was a proponent. Okay, members, is there debate on the bill as amended? You're recognized to close on your bill.
I'll wait close. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Wait and close. Martha, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Beshears?
Yes.
Combi?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Gates?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Wallison?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Roussan? Stark?
Yes.
Booby? Stewart?
Yes.
Waldman?
Yes.
Watson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chairholder?
Yes. And members, by your vote, show the bill passes. Congratulations. Members, that completes our agenda for today. I'd like to thank the presenters and the public and committee members for your participation today. And if there is no further business, Representative Waldman moves. We adjourn without objection. The motion passes.